If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
We're talking with Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent, about the Brian Koberger case. We're going to touch a little bit on the investigative grand jury that was interviewing Koberger's parents the other week. Initially reported that it had something to do with another homicide in the area. Police department in that jurisdiction saying, nope, we have no connection with Koberger to the case at all. Used a lot of caps in that tweet, by the way. So I ask you, Jennifer, as we go into this conversation, does that mean anything at all? I mean, is this something where they're just trying to throw people off the track of what they're trying to investigate, which is what they did at the onset of all of this, saying they didn't know anything about a suspect, and then boom, they'd been following Koberger for so long? Or is that the honest to God truth? And maybe they were talking to the parents about something else, maybe just simply about the case itself, because there had been another crime committed in that county, giving them the right to call them in.
Well, Dana Smithers went missing and then had recently been found right really before all this grand jury, before they were called before the grand jury. So certainly, the reporting about who they were called to, what case, was by Brian Enten. Mm-hmm. The reporting that they were called at all was broke by CNN.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of sources in these cases. These networks, Brian Enten certainly is going to hang his hat on anything that he doubts in the least. I know him personally. Mm-hmm. And I believe CNN also doesn't want to ruin their reputation by saying it happened. We know it happened. We also believe that, they tried to quash Cumming.
Yeah.
Going before the grand jury. Why were they called? That's the information that we don't know, but it would make sense that this investigative grand jury is looking at all possible suspects that could have killed Dana Smithers.
Sure.
And because of the close proximity, they're trying to make sure that Brian Koberger is nixed off their list, mm-hmm. if indeed he had appropriate alibis. Mm-hmm. And I just find it interesting that they're calling parents for their alibis. I don't understand why they're not using technology or why they're not using interviews that were conducted to show where he was and then following up with that. Maybe it's easier to get a parent on the stand. It doesn't make any sense to me that they had them come before the grand jury at two different time frames. That's always bad as an investigator. I want the two parents back to back in that grand jury room. One sitting in the lobby as the other one comes out, the other one goes in so they can't chat.
Yeah. Okay.
I find it significant, Tony.
Yeah.
It's really significant from the standpoint they called his parents.
It'd be very interesting to see what happens. Initially, before it was connected, where Brian connected it to the other case, I was thinking, well, they're being called in because a crime was committed. He was concealing evidence when he was getting rid of all the things in his car, plastic bags and bleach in the back. That right there would be a crime in itself, where you could indeed then call in the parents legally in that county. But the other case connection, I'm really curious if it was kind of a let's kill two birds with one stone. We're going to talk about the Smithers case, and we're also going to ask you about what was going on when your son showed up back home for the holidays.
Yeah, it could be that, Tony, because certainly that could be charged there if they were aiding and abetting, harboring, if there's any evidence going toward that. And the fact that they wanted to not talk about it, right? If you're parents, you want to get your son off the hook.
Yeah.
In terms of if you've got an alibi regarding the Smithers case. But if you're going to be called in regarding all the, you know, shenanigans going on with the car cleaning and the plastic bags and the trash removal, et cetera, that might be something you don't want to testify about. But they went before the grand jury. They could have pled the fifth, remember? Grand jurors that don't want to testify often do that. And if they feel like they're culpable in any way with what they did with evidence, they could have just sat up there and said, I plead the fifth. That happens.
It'll be very interesting to see what comes out of that if we ever do find out anything that came out of that that meeting.
There was one document that I was so happy to see. It's the Strava. And that is a program that basically documents, runners use it.
Okay.
And they use it to document, you know, how far they go, how fast they run, and it keeps track of them. It's really cool program.
Sure.
And back months ago, I can't remember the exact month, January, February, somewhere in my Twitter, I got a hold of one of his Stravas, Brian Koberger's Strava. Mm-hmm. And I was so shocked because I did not know what incredible shape he's in. Now, people who are, you know, big time runners may argue this isn't very good shape, but for, you know, 90% of the public, I'm throwing that figure out there, for a huge percentage of the you know, regular Joe Blow, he's running 6 minute miles. At least the Strava I found was a 6 minute mile, and he ran for I think a mile 38, something like that. And it showed his pace was 6 minute mile. That is a good clip, Tony.
Yeah.
Many people can run 6 minute miles that are avid runners. This just shows you, though, cardiovascularly, this guy was in good shape. And this is something they want to prove.
Yeah.
They want to show that, you know, he wasn't. And we also know he has a boxing background, too. But they want to show his endurance level,
yeah,
that he would be capable of this. And they also want to look at where he was running, too. Another interesting thing about the Strava was the time frame. I mean, it was in the middle of the night he was running. I know he's a night owl. We all know that. He was wide awake when police broke up to go get him. But it just corroborates sort of the time frame he was working in when he allegedly committed these murders. And they're going to get so much more, certainly, than I could ever find. They're going to get all his Strava reports. What will that lead them to?
It's very interesting because there's a lot of criticism early on saying, how could one person do this much damage and literally stab four different people in such a violent way that he did? How would you have the energy, the physical stamina to do that? And this may answer that question.
Yeah, it certainly helps answer that question. And, you know, the mind and the emotion and the adrenaline, of course, that is a huge factor,
sure,
behind crimes like this that are committed, even if you're not in good shape, right? But then you add to it this physicality, his height, his you know, physical endurance, the fact that he was, you know, enjoyed boxing and things of this nature, this hand-to-hand sort of background that he had. And I would add to it that even though it's come into question how good he was at fish cutting, he was not one that had any issue working with a knife.
Mm-hmm.
That certainly is true. So people choose their weapons to commit these types of murders for very specific reasons, and that is a comfort level. Judging from the information that came out on Dateline through their source, you know, this is believed to have been purchased over, you know, around a year before these crimes,
yeah,
from Amazon. That's a long time to hold that knife, to feel it, to get comfortable with it, and to fantasize, because that's what went into all of this, fantasize about using that day after day after day until, you know, finally everything came together that the decision was made. So Tony, all of these little clues, and I was so glad when I saw that Strava, because they need to show that.
Yeah.
A jury wants to hear that he was in good shape cardiovascularly.
All these pieces of the puzzle getting clearer and clearer as time goes on.
Yes, certainly so. And it's going to get really clear. I think we're going to have a trial, Tony. I could be wrong. He could pull a BTK on mm-hmm. us and plead all of a sudden. I just don't think it's his personality.
I don't think it is either. At this point, though, with this case, anything I feel is possible. I would not be surprised by any move. It's hard to predict anything here, but I agree. I think he wants the attention. I think he wants to go through the motions of it. I think that's part of what this whole thing is this fantasy to explore what it's like to be a killer.
Yes, I do agree with that. And you know, he had to have also fantasized these moments. Mm-hmm. And but for that sheath being dropped, which I think he must just have nightmares every night about. He doesn't have nightmares if, again, it's him, about the killings. Yeah. His nightmare is about, dang it, how could I not, you know, affix that to my body?
Yeah, exactly.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
Retired FBI Special Agent Jennifer Coffendapper, thank you so much for your insight into this case. Always very much appreciated. If you want to weigh in with your insight into any of the cases that we follow for you right here, you can do so. All you got to do is give us a call, 888-554-5537. Easier to remember is 888-5-KILLER. And weigh in 24/7 on anything. We'd love to hear your voice and share your opinion on the program. I'm Tony Bruschi. Follow me on Twitter at Tony B Pod. Stay with us.